Welcome to the Draw.Biz Podcast, your weekly dose of fantasy footy content.
G'day everybody and welcome to the Draft Doctors. I'm your host, John Crockett. It is the dynamic duo this week of myself and the one and only Statesman, as the rest are pikers and just don't give a shit about fantasy football anymore. So welcome to you, mate, and let's kick it in the dick.
Yeah, absolutely. Looking forward to it. Get rid of the hacks and to the pros, mate. So I'm actually quite looking forward to it, as much as a couple of the games were just fantastic this week. So I can't wait to talk about them.
That's it. We've got the round 11 games and the waiver wire pickups. Won't be any questions this week because it's been actually pretty busy at work, which is a good sign, and haven't had a chance to get the questions up. But we'll get straight into it. And the Port and Tigers game, Stater, was a cracker of a match. What'd you see in that one?
Yeah, well, I have to put my hand up, to be honest. The call that I made last week that it was the end of Latham season was a tad early.
Wasn't that me?
No, it was actually me. Yeah, no, it was part of the report that, yes, it's Latham season, but it won't be for long with Lysette coming in. But I will hold fat on that. Lysette's 53 is probably true to form on the two-ruck system, and I don't think Latham's as a mostly key forward will return those numbers too often. Great 90, there's no doubt, took some fantastic marks, but I just can't see it every week. It's like any of the key forwards, you're going to have your up and down. So you just need to be mindful. The preference is that he's actually in your forward line and not your number one ruck. That would be the preference. And seeing he's playing early and everything that's happening with the rolling lockouts, he may be a really good R2, where you can use the opportunity to see if his score is good that week before you take it. Second up, the Tigers are so inconsistent at their best, and that's with their fantasy scoring. It's like a box of chocolates. You just never know what you're going to get. And they can also be quite restrictive on the opposition. They weren't so against Port, and that's how good of a game it was. But just be really mindful, especially when you're choosing your captain, that if they're up against Richmond, there's a chance they might have a bad game. Gun mids seem to be able to roam free, so you can get the occasional big score in the midfield. But normally, not right across the board as it happened in this game. And last but not least, it's all about the kids. And Port are so damn exciting to watch. I just mentioned to Jono when we started the call that it was one of those games of footy that I actually forgot about my fantasy players because I just got involved in the game of footy, which is fantastic. But for a keeper, and a dynasty league, have a hit at a couple of these ones before the trade closes. So most of the leagues are actually finishing on the 16th, which is actually at the end of this week. Rose is out injured and has had a bit of a down year, so that smells like a buy low, especially with from someone vying for the finals or for the premiership. Dersma, Butters and Georgiadis have all got some major upside, so I'll be certainly looking to buy some of those young kids because they're going to be stars. And how good was Butters yet again? I know I talk about him. I'm as bad as DOS when I come to this boy because he is my boy, Butters.
No, I did pick him up in one of my leagues, and it is actually really good just to watch him play. As you said, watching that game on the weekend, he was just running around everywhere, just picking up the ball, kicking snags. It's really good. What are your thoughts on Woodcock? Is he a long-term prospect or just a bit of flash in the pan at the moment just because of the whole Corona Dome thing?
Well, obviously with Ebert and Rosé out, always call him Rosé because I love the wine. But look, it's a case where he's got that opportunity, but I like how exciting he is. So I see him as a longer-term solution to Brad Ebert. His scoring hasn't been fantastic, but he's certainly one, especially in a dynasty league, these type of young fellas are worth having a crack at. And I think I've got Shoal later on, who's the halfback flanker for Adelaide. So he's another dynasty sort of league option. And I'd certainly be looking at them, and especially if those leagues that have got the rookie list option, I think he's something worthwhile if you don't have better options like Dersma and co on your squad.
Yeah, fair enough. I checked out Melbourne and North Melbourne. Yes, I got the North game yet again, but something about them, I just like watching. Maybe it's Luke McDonald's beard and how well he's going. I don't know, but no Max Gawn, no worries for Melbourne's midfielders. They absolutely hunted everything that Goldie and Dore did on the weekend. North Melbourne won those hitouts 29 to they had 29 hitouts to 7 of Melbourne's players. Like, that's ridiculous.
It is. Can I so North Melbourne won the hitouts, did you say?
Yeah, 29 to 7.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. That's unreal. So, you know, your Olivers, your Petrakas, Novine, obviously, and Brayshaws, they were just hunting whenever Goldstein or Dore was tapping down to them, sharking it, laying the tackles on them, stopping that North Melbourne run.
If they're going to be that good at that role, does that mean they're more likely to take a cautious approach with Gawn?
Well, with Gawn, his hit-outs to advantage, it's been the opposite way. Opposite teams have been sharking his hit-outs, so Melbourne had carte blanche, and it just rolls into no Viney means it's all Brayshaw season. Given the role, it's shown he can score. So
driving his price up.
Well, exactly right. That's going right to my point. He's probably a great time to sell right now because he's had two pretty good games, got the two fantasy tons, proper tons in both formats this week, and with Viney coming back off that mild concussion, there could be someone looking for that M6, M7 who believes in the hype of Brayshaw, who will continue the scoring, but will get sucked into those 60s and 70s scores from here on out. Luke Davies Uniacke.
Yeah.
He is a mid-forward, midfield time now. So we saw Jed Anderson get that eye injury, got the scratched eye. So how long he's out for, I'm not too sure. I haven't seen the injury report.
But yeah, test.
Test. Do you think they'd be cautious with a short day, a short turnaround there? So LDU playing midfield minutes, he's come in with that pedigree. So this could be a stepping stone for him to break out. Got that forward status while playing mid, so it's going to be a bit of a free hit, I think, if he's sitting on your waiver wires there.
And he showed a bit of class too. That was the important bit. It was just getting the sort of junk footy. He actually showed a bit of class, which probably...
Well, he was a high draft pick, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was.
Top 10 or something, yeah.
But this is his third year, so this should have been the breakout year. And we sort of really hadn't seen anything. It's only really the last 2 weeks... that we've really got to look at him and say, oh, yeah, there's something there.
Don't forget he had that pubic overload at the start of the year, so that hampered him a lot.
I dream of a pubic overload.
The Lions and the Dogs, what happened there?
Two scoring superstars in this game, but different advice on the longer-term status. So Lachie Neale is no doubt this year's best player. Brownlow is on its way. AFL Fantasy MVP already wrapped up, but you are in contention. If you are not in contention, should I say, I suggest sell. And the reason why I say this, he will never be as relevant to the rest of the competition as he is right now. He is the competition's number one. You ask why? Well, Neale is averaging 92% game time. Now, that's reduced over the past 4 weeks because of the condensed fixture. Previously, he was at 97% game time, which is so remarkable, and that's compared to his low 80s in previous years. So you find most midfielders, there are some exceptions, Scully, Gaff types that go high 80s, low 90s in the proper format, the proper time of games, but most midfielders are actually between the 82 and 86% game time. While McRae, on the other hand, is averaging only 85% game time this year and has spent time in different roles. So he spent time being outside rather than inside. And as soon as he got back to his role, his scores start coming again. So one will get the bump next year and one won't. And that's the key element here. So you hold McRae no matter where you are because he is just your number one midfielder. If you are rebuilding, use Neale to one of the contenders and you should absolutely get a fantastic deal. And don't let him go unless you do, but set up your season next year by selling someone who is actually going to be closer to an M2, not a the number one, as of 2020. Next off, Zach Bailey's role is just fantastic. And remarkable that he was on most waiver wires just a month ago. And now one of the form defenders in the competition. So impressive. And those that picked him up, you should be patting yourselves on the back. There's a few like that. McDonald was a bit the same, to be honest with you.
Yep.
And last but not least, interested in your view, to be honest, Jono here, but I don't think the mix of having Libba and Dunkley works both for the footy team and also their fantasy scoring. Everyone else provides a bit of difference in that mix, but these two basically do the same thing, and only space for one of them in that midfield mix, to be quite honest. And with Lockie Hunter coming back, I expect Lipinski's numbers to drop.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting one. Dunkley has that ability to go forward. Like, he's 185, 186 centimetres, but can take a really good contested mark. They have had troubles in their forward line, the Doggies, so Bevo might just give the nod to Libba, seeing as he's a bit smaller and more would play as a crumbing forward than, say, a contested forward. So we could see Dunkley shift back forward a little bit maybe in the coming weeks, which is severely going to, if he's scoring just shits the bed, it's going to make him hard to field, really, especially coming into your finals this year. And as you said, Hunter coming back is probably going to hurt Lipinski as well. He might even be right out of that team, even though he has been struggling.
Yeah, and I will say, the week Libba is rested or if he gets injured, that's when you put the C on Dunkley, because he'll just go massive.
And that's the thing. We know Libba's injury history. He could potentially be rested. And, well, the buys are coming up as well. We don't know how the buys are going to be playing out from rounds, 14 onwards. So big wait and see there.
But while they're both there, owners, just be wary that the numbers will be down a bit.
Absolutely. Take us through the Eagles and the Blues, Stato.
Yeah, welcome back, Zach Fisher, a.k.a. another player keeping Paddy Dow out of the team. This is an interesting situation, as we would think there'll be a slight outlier with this scoring, 78, so almost a BCV ton. Although we have expected that type of scoring for some time from Zach Fisher, to be honest. And you've got to think, if he's going to remain a small forward, we should suggest there'll be some quieter weeks ahead. So it may be a sell in keepers for those light on in forwards or vying for the flag, or a hold in Dynasty League. Our hope for Zach Fisher was to be the sort of high half forward, potentially wing. But Carlton is a list building, and it's a bit like GWS. So you see these players, you know, come in from other clubs, and the stable, solid players who you think are just going to be really solid scorers for Gold Coast. And all of a sudden the youth comes in and all of a sudden they're out of the squad. The same may happen for Carlton. So just be wary on who you hold and who you don't. Go with the talent. I think that's the key thing. Go where the talent is.
It'd be a pretty good hold this week, especially with Jack Martin's calf injury.
Yeah.
It's going to keep him out for a couple of weeks, so could be worth snagging him off that waiver wire. Dare say he would be available.
And if he's ready, Paddy Dow may be the one that comes into that squad as well.
Quite possibly.
Yeah, Jack Redden was back, and as suspected and discussed a couple of weeks ago, that full midfield team was in, so he struggled with just a 48. But the interesting one to me, who I actually changed my mind on a little bit this week, was Dom Sheed. He scored 103. Now, it's not just the score. It was the way he carried himself and the way he shared the roles. With Shuey and Redden ageing, and they have got what I would say a limited group of young midfield stars, certainly a lot less than a lot of the other clubs, I would assume that he's sort of the next fantasy stud for them. So we're talking that Shuey's 30 now, so he'll be 31 next year. Redden's 29, 30 later in this year. So they're reasonably long in the tooth, and we know that both of them have had a bit of injury concerns. You're talking Gaff is actually 28, so turning 29. So Sheed at 25, I think the next 3 to 4 years are actually all about him, to be blunt. Obviously, Gaff and Kelly will get the attention, and Sheed is the one you buy. So I actually brought him in this week. And someone I've shipped off
as well.
Yeah, well, that's right. Well, he's 26. So Yo-Yo's to me is a buy low candidate because Corona Ball just hasn't worked. A bit of roll hasn't worked for him. But next year I can see him really taking another step up. And last but not least, Sam Walsh has had an up and down year. But the goods are there. He is a ball getter. So in a keeper, you hold and he will pay you back. The other one of interest in that Colton team that's had a good last 4 to 6 weeks is Setterfield. And I think he's worth a buy low. Started really slow. He's on people's scrap heaps. I missed the opportunity to pick him up myself. I actually picked up Redden instead of Setterfield. And I'm regretting it now as a steak knives thing. Should have done it, although his role may decline if they're able to pick up another quality mid from another club. And obviously we know there's quite a few missing games at GWS right now. So just be mindful. Look at the trade period to decide whether Setterfield's a keeper or not.
Just a quick question about real football for a minute. You look at their West Coast back line, that's pretty old and injury prone, and it's pretty one-dimensional. Like they don't have that line breaker. We know Zach Williams is out of was a restricted free agent at the end of the year. Do you reckon they'd throw an offer at him to get him out there to the West?
There's a lot of talk even today. I think Tom Brown did a report, God bless him, that North Melbourne were after him. Surprise, surprise, North Melbourne were after a GWS player. And look, the reality is there's so much talent on their list. They could lose 3 or 4 and still just be a quality outfit. Yes, that is a great potential. So Shannon Hearn's probably the key one you're sort of looking at there. Even Brad Shepherd's sort of getting on. I think he's around that sort of 28 mark. Although I've actually been really impressed with Nelson and really impressed with Duggan. I think Duggan's last 6 weeks have been really, really good. But you're right, just the one sort of breaking off. But look, they haven't really used Jetta a lot this year. I think he has been injured in recent times, but there certainly were games where he was fit and available that he wasn't selected. So it's interesting they've gone to a bit of east-west sort of model. So there's a lot of plus sixes in that team right now in their defensive. Yeah. So they're just being a little bit patient. Yeah, but I think they think they've got the mix right. So, you know, whether Williams is a key target for them, I'm a little bit unsure, but he wouldn't hurt any defensive line.
Yeah, because just watching was like that episode of The Simpsons when the soccer came to Springfield, back to the front. That's how it was in the back line, just going around in circles. I'm like, some good fantasy scoring going on here.
Yeah, I sort of, and it was, I think it might have been another game. You might be doing it soon. But I remember not having a player. Oh, Geelong's defensive group. The first 6 minutes I'm looking at it and I'm going, I've got no Geelong players in any of my squads. And some of them, the defenders, were up to 20 points and we're about the 3 minute mark. And I'm going, oh, no, this is awful.
Well, speaking of the Cats, I did check out the Cats and the Saints, and the Saints looked pretty gassed, to be honest. They played 3 games in 12 days, running up against Geelong, so they were absolutely cooked. They brought in young Bytel, who, off 73% game time, scored the 52 and the 76 Supercoach, so he looked like a goer, and they just threw him right in the guts, and he looked perfect in there, so... for your keeper leagues, I'd be looking to snag him and put him on a list if you can, your dynasties. And with the big one of Jay Gresham, stress fracture's gone for the rest of the home and away season. he could have some job security now and continue to play in that role, because Seb Ross, Luke Dunstan types, they've had opportunity, but they just haven't taken it. But oh, I really like the way this kid went about it. So look to grab Jack. Is it Jack Bytel?
Yeah, that's correct. And
another Jack at St Kilda.
And I will say, with the Gresham news, that becomes a buy-sell candidate. So it's a buy if you're rebuilding. So you can flog off someone that you wouldn't keep and keep Gresham to a team that's contending. Yeah. So they've lost a quality player from there. So you can help them win a premiership and you get a genuine midfield forward keeper. Be interesting to see if he keeps his forward status. That'll be the important bit, because I wouldn't want him as a mid-only.
No.
And on the other way, if you are contending, he's actually a sell candidate. So he actually has some value, some genuine value that you can actually help your team go and win a premiership if you sell him off.
Yeah, that's right. And also, danger to spend more time forward again. I think that's just the rest, in-game resting, as we see a lot now. And also on the Saints, we talk a lot about Hunter Clark in that back line. But Nick Caulfield, I've been watching him the last couple of weeks. He's been going right under the radar. And if you haven't got Hunter Clark, look to snag Nick Caulfield. Could be on a waiver wire. Them two for the next 10 years coming off that back line. They're going to be the line breakers off that team, because they look fantastic. I think Caulfield was a high draft pick, just took some time to get into the role of AFL football, but him and Clark for the next 10 years going to be players.
Absolutely.
And I'm going to call it now, Stato. Caulfield breakout for 2021.
Wow. Just recruited him this week off Dossie Boy.
There you go. Suck shit, Doss. I also looked at Freo and Hawthorne. Adam Chera, he is the defender mid this year. He is absolutely braining it. And when I looked at him, I actually had him early in the year and dropped him to the waiver wires because the scores weren't there. And his time on ground was a bit low for a defender. It was about 73-74%. That was rounds 1 through 4. Rounds 5 through 11, he's up around the 85-90% time on ground. Absolutely killing it now. He's that defender mid. I reckon he's a chance to hold defender status going into next year, because he's in that 666 starting off the defensive 50. So there is a chance he can hold it. I hope he does, because he would be an absolute primo defender going into 2021. As we see Nat Fife spending more time forward, it's Brayshaw, it's Sarong, even Mundy, who I absolutely wrote off a few weeks ago, he's just turned the corner and absolutely smashing it as well. So if you got him, well done. If you're holding him, even better. So hopefully he can hold his defender status for next year.
And this is the drama with a few of these players. So Chera is a fantastic defender. There's no doubts about that. But if he's mid-only next year, then his value is shot to. So my recommendations, if you are rebuilding and we're in the last week of trading, anyone that you've got that question mark with, they're going to keep, and you put the line and say, if he's a mid-only, I'm not keeping him, then they're the ones you trade, because other people can get generally excited about him.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I use Cam's keeper team as a classic example. He's got a forward line to die for, but the forward line are all going to be mids next year. So he's got a list of, I don't know, it'd be 11 or 12 mids rolling into next year and no forwards.
Sounds like my team. We've got all the defenders and midfields in the world, but I don't care about forwards. Pick them up. I think I'm rolling Max King and someone else at the moment. I just don't care about forwards. Also, Isaac Smith, he did his AC joint quite early in that game against Fremantle. So that's going to open up a wing spot for someone, and not too sure who it's going to be. It could be a Jarman Impey, or it could even be a Jack Scrimshaw. And if it's Jack Scrimshaw, pick him up off the waiver wire now, because he is a great user of the ball.
Yeah,
I am a big fan of his. And that's, you know, Hawthorne getting that ball long inside 50, who can use the ball. That's what Isaac Smith's done over his career. And I've got a feeling that's how they want to see use Scrimshaw going forward as well. But horses, of course, it could be Impey or Scrimshaw.
So. Yeah, in a keeper, though, so there's one boy I'm really hot on. Who would you have, Scrimshaw or Day?
Ooh.
I really like Day.
See, I'm a Scrimshaw fan. I've been a Scrimshaw fan for a couple of, since his Gold Coast days. So I'll take both.
I'll take them both. Absolutely. I actually sold Will Day to Archie this week, but it was with a heavy heart. But I've got Caulfield, I've got Sicily, I've got Callum Mills, and we only keep 12. If we kept 18, he would have stuck around.
Beautiful, absolutely beautiful. That's all for the Freo and the Hawks. What happened in the Crows and the Pies game?
Not much. Grundy, oh boy. 3 G's are not going well. Injuries and in-game resting. But seriously, I've been saying this, and Grundy's my biggest pain in the ass in hashtag off-brand. I've brought him in twice, and it's not been a good scenario at all. But he just looked tired. But I will say he looked tired 3-4 weeks ago. So there's a real concern there. So just be careful. Steve's owned him in our keeper for quite a while, and he posed the question to us last night before the game, who do I captain, Adams or Grundy? And I said, well, it's definitely not Grundy. How many times would we say that? Quite remarkable. Second up, Rory Laird could just not stop getting the pill in his new mid-roll, 139, which may in fact be a season record.
Zach Merritt's got that record, I think.
He got 138 because I own Zach Merritt, got 138. So Rory Laird's score might be the highest for the year. And a mid-defender status sounds pretty bloody juicy to me.
Oh, yeah.
Enjoy the ride, especially while Brad Crouch is now out for a couple more weeks, slipping on the veranda. God bless him. Or is that going to Geelong for a recruiting trip? No, that's not true. That didn't happen. I'm only taking the piss.
Last to Richmond.
Yeah. Oh, who knows? Shoal, last but not least, Shoal is a worthy pickup in a keeper. But do remember Jono's tip from last week, because his score looked pretty sexy. His defenders score well against Collingwood.
Yeah, man, imagine that. They all look good. You look at McPherson, Shoal, Laird, Brady Smith, they all scored well. I'm a genius sometimes.
You are a genius. Genius.
Genius.
Ivan Reitman.
Grundy did look very tired, and I think they had the hardest run in this Corona Dome. I think 5 games in 16 days or 17 days, so it's obviously going to take its toll. But
there is a slim chance. There is a world where the massive ruck matchup that is Collingwood and Melbourne might be Jackson and Cameron.
Well, that's right. There is talks of Gorn with a PCL injury, and that could be a couple of weeks. And we've seen Tom Lynch take him a year, and same with Devin Smith take a year. So who knows? Good sell candidate for both of them.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think that's all the games we've gone through now. So we are going to move on to our waiver wire pickups. And when we do use the waiver wire pickups, we use Ultimate Footy's 69% ownership or less, just for those in bigger teams to have an opportunity. Stato, why don't you take us through your waiver wire pickups?
Yeah, got a defender special, 3 of them. Please note that we are recording just before, it's an hour before the last game, Gold Coast and Essendon, so we can't review what we haven't seen, but we wanted to make sure we got it out so you can get your waiver wires in, seeing we start round 12 tomorrow night or Thursday. Robbie Tarrant, 57% owned, another great score on the weekend. And Jono's rule in round 13, which is up against Collingwood, so now no doubt another bumper score. Look, his scoring is worthwhile to be your D5, to be quite honest with you, so I'm surprised he's on the waiver wire so many times. But
I've been
banging
on about him in the late week pickup articles. I've owned him in a couple of leagues. He's just solid.
Yep. Just solid. He can have a couple of down weeks when he's playing a really defensive role, but he is a +6 guy. He does take those intercept marks.
And takes some of the kick-ins too.
Yep, absolutely. One we probably hot on a lot of different formats 3-4 years ago when he was first recruited from Freo from GWS, And that's Nathan Wilson. He's only 31% owned. We've expected a lot from him, but haven't seen a lot, to be honest. But they were looking for him during the game. Now, I sensed a slight change of game style from Frio. Now, whether they've been building up to this or whether it was just the conditions, but they were looking for him, and he, for the first time I was seeing, was doing the runoff, which was receive the handball. So that was impressive. Got a score in the 80, so BCV tunned it up, and only 31% owned, so I think he's quite worthwhile. And I don't know if it's fool's gold, but I'm going to mention it anyway. So a defender who's previously been a forward and previously been a centre only is Jackson Thurlow, only 9% owned. He's only played the one game, scored an 80. He probably is fool gold, and he probably is a bit of AFL fantasy hype because he scored the 80, so you could bring him in to get guaranteed 80. But you just never know because there's so many injuries that he might just have that juicy roll and pump you out a couple of 60s that you weren't expecting. And if that's good coverage, especially during these bye rounds, and I even got beaten by DOS, which is sort of like happened once in every 13 years, and it's because you get hit by the bye rounds. And my back line, which sort of talked a little bit of it before, but it had two Hawthorn players, a West Coast player, an injury, and all of a sudden four of the starting five were gone. And that's what we're all going to cop between round 14 to 17.
Just on that, there's a rumour that all the buys are going to happen in one hit. That's, I don't know how it's, logistically how it's going to happen.
But so that's four-game round.
Yeah.
Wow, that'd be interesting.
That's a rumour. That's a rumour.
Wow, I haven't heard that one. That's interesting. That's remarkable strategy. Imagine if you've got a Supercoach team and all you had was players from those 10 teams. Because there is a world where the only thing you've got from the other teams is just rookies.
That's right. So it's going to be interesting to see how they did it. I did try to
imagine if it was semi-final week.
Oh, and that's what people are worried about. That's because Supercoach draft, they just don't care. Like, that's it. They don't care.
Yep.
So, I did try to ask the man Tom Brown on Twitter what the hell, if he had any inside goss on the how the buy round situation.
Why did you go to Tom Brown?
Oh, because he knows everything.
Yeah, okay, fair enough.
Or you just throw a dart at it, and I'll be happy with that answer.
Yeah. The interesting one was Triple M run a story that Tom Brown did, but they had the title, and all it was an editing error. But it basically said Tom Brown expects that GWS are on the hunt for Williams and Core.
That's full Tom Brown for you.
And someone put, oh, no, I don't think it was actually Tom. I think it was actually the editor that actually done that. But in saying that, the great response underneath it was, could you just advise him that they already have him?
Two first-round draft picks, please.
Yeah.
Any more waiver pickups?
No, that was it for me. Just a few defenders.
Yep. It's actually Melbourne playing North Collingwood this week, so I've actually gone with Jake Lever at 19% for that defender run against Collingwood. But Tarrant is still a good pickup playing Brisbane. We've seen defenders score okay against him the last few weeks. My boy Jack Scrimshaw, if he does get that Isaac Smith role, is in 21%.
So can we just clarify here, because remember I've made the rule that it's only three boys. So one of your boys is Jack Scrimshaw. And one of my boys is Zach Butters. I might be backing it in that my boy's going all right.
I think there's potential for my boy.
Right.
Okay. There's potential.
And can I just mention that you mentioned the Melbourne. There was one player, defensive player, young player. So it's more a dynasty, maybe a little bit of keeper. Maybe it's a year or two early. But Trent Rivers really impressed.
Yeah, he was he was in the team and then out of the team for a bit, but seemed to have got an opportunity. But he looks solid every time I watched him play. So
just took a couple of really good marks, and you're up against Collingwood. You never know if those marks double. All of a sudden, I think he scored 52. You never know. It might pump out a 60 or 70 for you this week.
Yeah, absolutely. And my last one is Luke Davies Uniacke. Seems to have got a nice little role there in the midfield. And if Anderson misses, I think he gets a bit of a bump. Pick him up as that forward mid and happy days. Put him in there as the F5 and you're laughing.
Absolutely.
All right. Anything else before we finish, Stato?
No, that is perfect. Good luck to everyone for the teams. We're all getting very close to finals. Ridley is playing, so I was expecting a laid out, so no changes in the final game of the round. That's basically round 11 done, and tomorrow we start round 12.
Yeah, we do. All right. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week. Fucking hell. Round 12.
Thanks for listening to the Draft Doctors Podcast. For more tips and in-depth analysis, head over to thedraftdoctors.com.au.